This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And you know what? You don't have to win the Super Bowl in order to go to Walt Disney World. In fact, everybody's welcome there. And, you know, after seeing maybe a couple of different things that are happening down in Walt Disney World these days, and obviously hearing this podcast, you're going to say to yourself, man, I would love to get down to Walt Disney World. And our good friends at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel are here to help you plan that perfect trip, make it a reality, and get you the best possible deal out there. You really got to check out some of the great packages that are available today. Just go to their website, mousefantravel.com. We're also sponsored by All-Star Vacation Homes. And when you're going to Walt Disney World and you want a great place to stay and you don't want to pay a lot for it, you want to have a lot of space, maybe you want to get their kids their own room to get out of your way, right? Get a little private time, have maybe some great amenities like your own private pool, movie room, full-size kitchen, and more. Well, you know what? All-Star Vacation Homes is the perfect solution for you. It's going to get you, your family, and maybe even some other people involved in one great place to stay for not a lot of money. Really, some of the best values out there. Check out All-Star Vacation Homes right now at allstarvacationhomes.com. And also, we're being sponsored by touringplans.com. And you know, Walt Disney World is a lot of fun, but what's not a lot of fun? Waiting in lines. I mean, just nobody likes it. It's awful. It's the pits, I tell you. And you know, if you want to avoid those long lines, see everything you want to see. See all those favorite attractions. In fact, be the hero of your family. Well, you're going to want to check out, of course, touringplans.com because they've got the tools and resources you need to see everything and do everything without waiting for everything. Check them out right now at touringplans.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Wednesday, February 4th, 2015, and this is episode 1446 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me on today's show is Mike Scopa, a blogger for TouringPlans.com, and he's also the co-host of the Mickey Miles podcast. Welcome to the show, Mike.
I have a couple of shout-outs, Matt. First, I want to do a shout-out to Jared and Teresa on their wedding this past weekend.
Yay!
Congratulations.
Yay. Congratulations.
Muzzle those wedding kids. Bells go ring, ding, ding, ding. And I also want to congratulate Tom Brady and the New England Patriots on their victory at Super Bowl, whatever the number it is, XXLYLYV49. And congratulations. Thank you.
The evil empire strikes again.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think that Teresa and Jared sung their vows to each other. Len, was that an option for you?
No.
No.
That would be a no. Although I do have a humorous story about the one time I did get married, but not for the air.
Okay.
I'm not recording right now, so you can tell us now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Also joining us on today's show, Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Come to the show, Mike.
Hey, Matt. Oh, wait a minute. I'm getting a call. Abe Vigoda. Hey, Abe. How are you, buddy?
Mike, can you get me off, Mike?
Yeah, I could talk. I'm not doing anything important. Don't worry about it.
Nobody really.
And here's the thing, Len. We know where Abe Vigoda is, but we don't know where David Lee Roth is. What is wrong there?
So I'm like on DEFCON 4 right now. So Friday night, all of David Lee Roth's websites and social media accounts went dark, completely empty, no word, no nothing going on. I immediately invoked the touringplans.com business continuation plan. Laurel got on a plane. We transferred control to Fred in Canada. It's all tough times here. Hopefully by the time you guys are hearing this, everything will be back to normal and we'll know what's going on, but seriously, seriously concerned. So,
well, it's all right. You can start following Sammy Hager on Twitter, and you know everything will be
like semi-retired.
Elena, are we in code red?
It's DEFCON 4. So DEFCON 4 is
how many,
like a,
how many minutes to midnight is it?
DEFCON 4.
It's
four.
Actually 3 minutes to midnight. It was the Union of Concerned Scientists.
Yes.
Move their doomsday clock ahead 3 minutes. David Lee Roth's websites go blank. Coincidence? You think not?
Nice. Also joining us on today's show, Len Testa, co-author of The Interesting Guide to Walt Disney World, and he's also the host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast. Welcome to the show, Len.
How's it going, man?
Outstanding.
Jim and I did this series of our February show. The first one is the history of Disney's value resorts, and it's really super interesting. And just as a quick preview here, It all started with the 1990-1991 Gulf War.
I thought it all started with a mouse.
It all started with a mouse, and then came the 1990-1991 Gulf War. Yeah, really strange. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, that's quite a interesting backstory there to partake in. Very good. All right, well, of course, we are discussing an interesting planning episode here today, where we're talking about the Disney trip planning timeline. What do we mean by this, Len?
So it's this. The timeline, the steps you need to take and when to maximize your enjoyment and minimize your cost at Walt Disney World. So so we'll give you a timeline here. Everybody knows, for example, that like 60 or 30 days out, you can make FastPass reservations depending on whether you're staying on-site or not. But there's other milestones at different points in your Disney calendar that you should also be aware of. Some of them you'll know. Some of them you won't know. Some of them you may know, but we'll give you some tips around them. So why don't we get started?
Sounds good. I like it.
So if you're a new listener and you're planning your first or your next trip to Disney World, we suggest 9 to 12 months before your trip starts, if possible, establish a budget and begin researching resorts and best times of year to visit. Here's why. One of the things that we know from talking to Annette and other travel agents at MEI. Is that most people generally know about the time of year they're going to go, so they may need to move things a couple days one way or the other. But they generally don't know how much things are going to cost. That's why we say establishing a budget is literally the first thing you should do. And remember, we did a show a couple weeks ago, Matt, on what you get at Disney World for $500,000, $1,500, and $2,000. I would suggest going back and listening to that as a good idea of figuring out what you can get for that amount of money.
Right, and an important thing to remember also that you make a preliminary resort reservation, but knowing that you can actually change or cancel without penalty for quite a while. So it's just it only behooves you to be able to just put down potentially the deposit,
right,
and that way you lock yourself into at least something that you can hold and play with. That way, if 4 months from now you decide, well, I don't want to go anymore, well, that's okay, you can cancel it. But maybe 4 months from now you realize, wow, I really, really, really want to go. You don't want to have to check then for availability and realize that perhaps the resort you were planning on or the price you were planning on doesn't exist anymore.
Right. So there's two things to point out with that. One is the website mousesavers.com keeps a list of the regular discounts that Disney's offered year after year after year, things like free dining or room-only discounts in the fall. And also tells you mousesavers will also tell you when they're usually announced and the travel dates they usually cover. So we all know, for example, that free dining is generally sometime in September through sometime in October-ish, somewhere in there, right? But what Mousesavers will do is we'll tell you, when Disney announced free dining for 2014, here's the date on which they announced it. I think it was in May. Here's the and here are the dates on which you could travel and or check in and be covered. And not only for 2014, but for 2013 and 2012 and 2011 and so on, all the way back to the beginning of time, back when it was carved on tablets. The other thing that we think you should do early on is create an account at MyDisneyExperience.com. If you want to make hotel or dining reservations, you'll need that account. And you'll also need it for things like tickets and fast passes eventually. So go ahead and make that now.
Nice. Makes a lot of sense, and certainly it's probably the best way to get your feet wet and kind of get the ball rolling, right?
Exactly. It's at this point, you're starting to know the questions that you're going to have answered, but you're not completely overwhelmed. There's a lot of decisions you don't have to make just yet. So we're sort of gradually entering in, and you're doing the fun things, right? Like planning a time of year and researching hotels. That's fun, right? You get the entire family involved. Everyone gets excited. It's good.
Hey, Len. Have you thought about, I wonder if this may be getting ahead of the game, but do you have also somewhere in that timeline an indication that you should set up reminders to yourself to get certain things done at a certain time? So in other words, because you may say from 30 days out, I want you, you need to do this, 45 days, 60 days, but you may be, life happens. So maybe setting up reminders might be another way of reinforcing what you have to do in that timeline.
You can definitely do it in Google Calendar. I will make a shameless plug here for touringplans.com. If you tell us your trip dates, we'll automatically back into these reminders for you, and we'll send you email alerts and alerts on your phone in our Lines app to tell you when you need to do certain things.
Now, is the other thing is you said 9 to 12 months. It's a fairly large chunk of the year here.
Yeah,
is there any? if you, let's say, you know, like, you know, a year from today, you're looking to go to the trip. I mean, is it a matter of like, there's not a real big difference whether you book it today or, you know, 2 months from now, or the earlier, the better, sir. It even behooves you, you know, the earlier within these 3 months, the still the better.
It depends on the dates. If you're going over New Year's and you want a very specific kind of room. I remember 1 year I wanted to book a grand villa at Bay Lake Tower for New Year's Eve. I literally made my reservation January 2nd, for the following year. So, you know, well in advance, you know, but if you're just looking for, you know, I want a room at Pop Century, I've made those literally the same day that I was driving down. So, you know, it depends. If you're going at a busy time, earlier is better, right? So if the kids are out of school and it's a holiday, Christmas, Easter, spring break, you know, President's Day, Arbor Day, things like that, you know, book earlier. If it's, you know, middle of September, it doesn't really matter. One of the things one of the reasons why we recommend looking at the best times of year to visit, which is our crowd calendar, is you can kind of see what the crowds are going to be like and what kind of competition you're going to have for hotel rooms as well.
Sounds good. Let's move to the next part in our timeline here.
So the next milestone is 7 to 9 months out. And really what you're doing here is you're getting ready for a set of deadlines that happen at 180 days before your trip starts. Scopa, that's the time that you can make dining reservations and certain other certain recreation reservations. So from, you know, 9 months out is 270 days. 180 days out obviously is 6 months. So in that period between 6 and 9 months out, let's say 7 to 9 months out, you want to do some basic research for the decisions that you're about to make. This includes things like figuring out what sit-down restaurants might interest you. You can look at things like the menus, which you can look at on touring plans or all ears or other things. If you're planning on staying at a Disney hotel, you can go over the basic rules and the basic economics of the Disney dining plan to see if it'll save you money on the restaurants that you've identified. The other thing to do is start looking at the best days to visit each park using our crowd calendar. And the reason for this is at 180 days, you're allowed to make dining reservations. Some restaurants will book up exactly 180 days in advance. They are so popular that you need to make a specific plan to visit them on a specific day 180 days before your trip. Things like Cinderella's Royal Table, certain meals like breakfast at Restaurant Acres Juice, especially during busy times of the year, you will need to make a reservation 180 days in advance for that. And because you will need to make those reservations, you kind of need to know where you're going to be on that particular day while you're there. That's why we recommend looking at the crowd calendar and start getting an idea of the best parks to visit each day during your trip.
I think this step is going to be the least obvious choice to someone who's brand new to Disney World.
Yeah, like why would you need to do it, yeah, right? People either think, well, there can't be that much difference between sit-down restaurants, but Matt, I mean, you know there is even at the studios, right? There's a huge difference between like Brown Derby and Hollywood and Vine.
Yeah, it's not even that. It's just people that, I mean, anywhere else you go, I mean, making reservations more than a week out is Looney Tunes, right? It's like, why would you do that?
Yeah, I mean, unless you're trying to get into some, you know, fancy schmancy New York place on Valentine's Day, you generally can make a reservation today for later today, right? I mean, but yeah, with Disney, there are certain restaurants that invariably fill up very, very fast. And, you know, again, especially if you're planning to stay at a Disney hotel and you're thinking about the Disney dining plan, the economics of the Disney dining plan really come down to whether you're going to be able to eat enough food at your first or second choice restaurants in order for it to be valuable. You don't want to be the kind of person who signs up for the Disney dining plan, then is stuck with like their fifth or sixth or choice restaurants and is just going through the motions and eating the food because they feel like they need to get their money's worth. That's not what you want to do. And this step of planning, you know, 7 to 9 months out, reviewing the parks to visit, reviewing the restaurants and checking out the basic economics of the dining plan, that's going to make you able to make a better decision once you hit the 180-day mark and you can start making those reservations.
Cool. I like it. All right. Let's move up to our next milestone. 180 days before your trip starts.
Scope, you want to do this one?
Well, if it's 180 days, I'm going to be on the phone or I'm going to be doing online reservations. Because, you know, you don't want to, like you said, Long, you did the, you did the New Year's Eve thing on January 2nd. So yep. why not start? So that 180 days, start figuring number one. I think you need to figure out, before you start making those, ADRs, you need to figure out where you're going to be on what day of your trip.
Yep.
You know, and then make that decision. Or if you really, really, really want to eat at La Cellier and you can only make a reservation for a certain day of the week, then sometimes these reservations will dictate how your touring is going to go.
That's
true. So what you do is starting on that day, you start listing, you know, whatever, if you're 180 days from that particular, you know, the first day of your trip, you start figuring out what restaurants you'd like to go to and you make a reservation. And I would start real early in the morning as soon as you can and make those reservations. That's what I would do.
That's true. Yeah. So, you can start making online reservations at 6 a.m. Eastern. So if you're on the West Coast, that's actually 3 a.m. Or 7 a.m. by phone, you will find it much easier to do it at 6 a.m. Once you've made those reservations, though, once you've gone through and determined what reservations are available for you on which days, and you know what kind of dining reservations you've got, then we suggest going back and just checking again the economics of the Disney dining plan after you've made those reservations. If you got all of your first or second choice sit-down meals, it's probably still a good deal for you. But if you're looking at this and you're saying, you know, of the 5 nights I'm going to be in Walt Disney World, I only got my first or second choice restaurants 3 times, and I'm not sure what we're going to do the other 2 nights, you might want to consider not doing the Disney Dining Plan. And Matt, we've covered the economics of the Disney Dining Plan and various other strategies many times on the show, right? So the wiki has that stuff. Yeah,
absolutely.
So at this point, you know, if you've been completely shut out for whatever reason of your favorite restaurants for the Disney Dining Plan, you can always drop it from your package. You're still well in advance of your cancellation deadline for that, which comes at 45 days. We'll talk about that. But if you're happy with it, you can always add the Disney Dining Plan to your package too.
I think this is a really smart idea actually, because this allows you to plan the trip like you would want to plan it. And if the dining plan happens to work out for you, great. And if not, then great as well, and you'll pay cash for it.
And I
think that allows you to plan the kind of trip that you want, where you want to eat, and not be like, okay, well, we've got the dining plan, we should probably go eat at Crystal Palace, even though I'd rather really eat at Kona, as an example.
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe if you can't get your sit down dining choices, maybe you just say, okay, this night we're just going to eat counter service, you know, for dinner and make up for the lack of a fabulous dining experience with extra ice cream or something for dessert, right? Maybe you do that. The other thing you could do at 180 days, make recreation reservations, spa reservations, and I think Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique reservations as well. So
I don't think it's remotely necessary to make those three you just mentioned 180 days out, but I mean, I guess you can.
Yeah, I think recreation reservations, I mean, unless you're doing something crazy like, again, you want to go bass fishing on New Year's Eve or, you know, something like that, you know, probably not. But you can make them, and, you know, while you're on the phone, might as well do it, right?
There you go. Let's move on to the next milestone.
So 120 to 180 days before your trip starts, so 4 to 6 months. Again, yeah, this isn't a hard deadline, but this is the point at which you're going to start doing research for the next set of deadlines that come up. This includes things like making a list of must-see attractions in each park. These are things that you absolutely want to see. And then also, once you've got that list of must-see attractions, begin a preliminary touring plan once you've got those lists of attractions using the dates you chose at the seven-month mark to visit each park. So now you kind of know your dining plans. You know which parks you're going to be in each day. You kind of know the attractions you want to see. It's time to start setting up a basic touring plan to see what's going on.
Len, if you are looking at your touring plan at that point and you're putting together like an outline or a structure together, and you know what park you're going to be in at a certain day, and you know which attractions you're going to be, you know, are your must-see attractions.
And you know your dining.
Yeah. Well, would you start putting together some kind of a fast pass plan?
That's exactly right. That's exactly the way we say to do this, because at the 60-day mark, if you're staying on site, 30 days if you're not, you'll be able to make fast pass reservations. So one of the things that you can do in this couple of months you've got before you have to make fast pass reservations is you can use the touring plan software that we have to tell you which attractions would benefit most from FastPass Plus. So you can do a bunch of what if scenarios and say, you know, if we get here at 9, what are the attractions that we need FastPass for? If we get here at 10, what are the attractions that we need FastPass for? And you can start to see patterns develop. We'll tell you, our touring plan software will tell you if you want to see 20 attractions, we will rank them from 1 to 20 by the order in which you'll save the most amount of time using FastPass. And we'll even tell you the time at which you should get them. So that's super helpful. And again, doing all this planning ahead of time is the thing that makes it easier for you to figure out. And the other thing you can also determine at this point is whether you want the park hopper option in your theme park tickets, which you will eventually purchase.
Cool. All right. What's the next on the list here?
Around the 120-day mark, if you haven't already done it, purchase your park admission and link your tickets to the My Disney Experience account so you can make FastPass reservations at the 30 or 60-day mark. You want to do this for a couple of reasons. One is sometimes ticket prices go up unexpectedly. I think one's coming up at the end of this month in February. Sometimes Disney raises them twice in a year. By purchasing them 4 months in advance, you're striking a balance there between not keeping the money in your pocket versus saving the 5% or whatever that Disney normally charges when they increase price of tickets.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, even if you're following along these kinds of things where, you know, you're listening to podcasts like this, or you read sites like Mouse Savers or what have you, and you're aware of it, even if you aren't at this window yet, I mean, keep that in mind, because when the prices do go up, it is a good idea just, you know, if you know you're going, you know, you may as well just, you know, buy it now, save the money. It's not a lot of money to lend to your point. I mean, 5% isn't huge, but it's a little bit of money here. It also helps break up the cost of the trip.
That's true. So you're not getting this one huge bill when you come back from your trip too. You can pay for it in advance. Yeah, 5% though on like a 4 or 5 day ticket is like $15, and right, for a family of four, that's $60.
Exactly. Across the family, that's a fair amount of money. I mean, that's a meal right there.
It's true. So the next one is, I think this is actually wrong, but in my timeline, I have at 90 days, make recreation reservations for things like fireworks cruises. I think you can make this at 180 days now.
Okay. Let's move on to 60 days.
All right. So, Scope, you want to do this one?
Yeah. That's when you, like you said, we talked before, that's when you know where you're going to be, you know what attractions are on your must-see list. That's when you start making your reservations, your FastPass reservations, so that and you do that every day. You can't do, you know, as you get to that 60-day mark for every day of your trip, then you know where you're going to be, you know what attractions you want, bang, you make your FastPass reservations and put them on your My Disney Experience. Right?
Cool. Yep. That's exactly right. There's a couple other things that we suggest doing around this time that maybe aren't obvious to a lot of people. One is to start a walking or exercise program so that you're ready for the 7 to 10 miles per day that you'll be walking in Walt Disney World. A lot of us have desk jobs, and going from sitting down all day to walking 7 to 10 miles per day is strenuous on us. Also for kids who – I don't know if your kids don't have PE or recess anymore. Mine doesn't. So she basically sits around all day and doesn't have any physical activity while she's in school. So getting started with a walking program about 60 days before, and we'll make sure that your legs are in good enough shape to make it through your Disney vacation. The other thing is at the 60-day mark, you've got 2 more weeks to cancel most Disney hotel reservations or packages without penalties. So you have to make your final payment by the 45-day mark. The 45-day gives you 2 weeks until the 46-day mark where you can cancel without penalty. You can also start online check-in at Disney Resorts 60 days before your arrival.
Do you guys do online check-in? I still have never done it.
Yeah, I do it. I put the credit card down. They still ask me the exact same questions every time I check in, so it's not a big deal. But there's that. So 45 days before your trip, final payments are due for Disney vacation packages and room reservations. You can customize and order your Magic Bands if you're staying on site, or you can decline them if you've got 15 copies of them like we do. You can also you should also make your Magical Express reservations if you're flying and you know your flight details, or if you've got any other transportation arrangements, if you need a car, a town car, if you need to rent a car, do it now.
I would also add, Len, either this day or 44 days out, we weren't in on the 7 to 9 month window.
Mm-hmm.
But if you came in a little late to the game here, but you're trying to, you know, play a little bit of catch up here, this is also the point at which if the resort you really, really wanted to stay at wasn't available, to check again for sure on this day or the 44 day mark for people that did cancel.
Oh, canceled. Yeah. Good. I'm going to write that down. That's good.
That's patent pending. Matt Hotchberg, All Rights Reserved 2015.
Cool. Good.
Yep. Let's move on to 30 days.
Scope, you want to do this one?
Well, the 30-day one, I guess I'd check to make sure that nothing has changed as far as park hours. I'd go over my touring plan again. And, of course, if you're 30 days out and you are staying off-site, that's when you start doing the FastPass Plus stuff. But if you if you're staying on site, then you don't have to do that. But I guess I'd be confirming a lot of things. I'd be checking the park hours. I'd be just double checking my touring plan. I'd be doing 30 days out, and before you know it, the day is here. So you might as well start double checking everything.
Yeah, and that at this point, midnight Eastern,
right? And yeah, from this point, from 30 days out, you've done virtually all the prep. Yeah. There's only a few things left to do from this point on. Not at 30 days, but at 27 days right now anyway, you can check for Be Our Guest FastPass reservations at beourguestlunch.disney.go.com, although this might be changing at the end of the month. We'll see.
Yeah.
The next big deadline is at 5 days when you can fax your room request to Disney. Also, touring plans can do this for you automatically. We set up an automatic fax service. We'll talk more about that in some other show. 4 days out is the minimum amount of lead time that you need to purchase Disney's Memory Maker photo package and have it ensure that it works by the time you arrive. So if you actually it's 3 days, but you want to do it at 4 days just in case the transaction doesn't go through for some reason for 1 day. If you do it at least 3 days in advance, you're guaranteed that from the time you step on foot on property to the time you leave, all of the photos that Disney photographers take will be in your photo package. Otherwise, if you book it within 3 days, you might not get all of your photos in the package. And then there's nothing else until 24 hours in advance. That's things like checking into your airline online, finish your Disney Resort online check-in. If you haven't already done so, you should have already done it. This is also the time at which you need to cancel any unneeded dining or babysitting reservations. So if you've made reservations for any restaurants, you've got a 24-hour grace period to make reservation to cancel them without penalty. I think some babysitting services require 24 hours. Some might require 48. So check that. But generally 24 hours for babysitting services. And I think that's it. Have we missed anything?
That's pretty good. I mean, Scopa did mention one thing at a different window. I think he said at a 30, but it's still worth checking other things, which is the park hours, because they do adjust them quite often. And within the week, even the day keep.
Yeah, and basically I'm talking about, they may throw in an extra magic hour here and there.
Exactly.
The day before, they'll give you an extra hour. They're not going to change the extra magic hour schedule at the last minute, but they might give you an extra hour or so.
Yeah.
And if they do, that might change, again, your babysitting accommodations or anything like that.
And the other thing is along those lines also is that when you check their schedule, like if we back up to, 7 months or 6 months out, and they've got the park hours out, I guarantee you those park hours will change by the time that you get to the actual day. Disney is notorious these days for putting out a really paltry schedule, and then within like a month or so of the actual date, they start, each month they start to really kind of look at, okay, how many people are really coming here? Ooh, we got to up the hours, essentially.
Thank you for reminding me of that, Scope. Also, what I'm saying now is also 5 days out, check the weather forecast for Orlando so you can make any changes to packing. Because you and I both know, especially if you go off season, there could be a 40-degree swing in temperatures. So
yep, good stuff. Cool, and thank you very much for the information there.
You're very welcome. So if you guys have any feedback on this, tweet us at WW Today Podcast or at Len Testa with suggestions.
Very good, cool. Let's go to our emails here, as we like to do on the podcast. We'll start with an email from Mark from Chicago. And this is not a question, just an observation from our visit last week. We were lucky enough to visit Epcot twice during the week, once on Thursday and then again on Saturday night. Thursday night, we basically stayed on the Future World side, had dinner at Garden Grill, and had a great time. Saturday, we hit some rides early and then made our way to World Showcase to enjoy the food and drink and see the holiday decorations and traditions. For the most part, it was really nice. However, the amount of loud, obnoxious people drinking around the world was unbearable. It's not like there were 21-year-olds either. Having a few drinks is understandable, but come on. There were two specific occasions. One was at around 2 in the afternoon, my family, my wife and I, kids as ages 10 and 8, were having a snack in the little covered courtyard behind the Norway Bakery. There were around 20 people in their upper 20s sitting around drinking and yelling, swearing like they were in a bar with nobody else around them. My kids looked at us and said, "Is this what happens when you drink too much?"
Here, kids, don't do this.
These people acted like there was no one else around. The second instance was at dinner at Spice Road Table. Food and decor was great. And this happened about 8:30. The bar in the middle of the restaurant, which could be part of the problem, and it's the first thing you see when you walk in. We sit down, ready to relax, take our time, and then we were able to see the holiday illuminations. And about 10 minutes in, there are grown men and women yelling and cheering at each drink. I mean, loud. Really loud.
Wow.
My daughter actually said, "Are we going to get hurt?" This went on for 20 to 30 minutes. Not sure if the restaurant told them to leave or if these people realized that they were not – how they were acting and left on their own. I know Disney sells alcohol because it's an enormous cash cow for them, and I don't blame them for taking advantage of idiots who could take it too far and think that they're the only ones around, but at least Disney could police it better. After enjoying a nice overall day, the sun shining, and hearing stories from each country's Santa's traditions, it just was disappointing to have our kids feel so uncomfortable and scared by the acts of some people.
You know, this is one of the reasons why Disney cut down the size of the beers that they sell now. Remember, you used to be able to get like 15 or 12 or 20 ounce beers, but now they're only doing 6 ounce samples. It's for these reasons. They also increased the price slightly.
Yeah, it's more. I think it's more, honestly, I would have attributed that more to making more profit than anything else. But I've said this for a while. This is a big problem. It's a major problem in Food and Wine Festival, if you ask me. It's more of, unfortunately, bad luck, it sounds like, in other times of the year. But if Disney, I think the biggest part of the problem isn't that it happens, that Disney really doesn't do anything about it. Food and Wine or any other time of the year, they as long as people are paying and not like getting in a fight, they're happy to let it continue. And that does bug me. And I agree with the reader here who sent us this email, because I think it's terrible that this kind of a behavior is allowed to happen, overlooked, however you want to look at it. We'll move it to our next email. Kristen Bieber writes, "Hello, just writing to say thank you. On last night's live show, my 11-year-old son called in with his older cousin. I believe he asked a question about the dinosaur attraction. He was so excited to be able to get through and said it was an awesome Christmas present. He is a huge fan of the podcast and doesn't miss a show. Thanks for making his day, and thanks for keeping him informed with the shows." Cool. I remember that call. That was a fun call.
Yay.
Next, we have an email from Amanda Frank of Cleveland, Ohio. "We'll be taking our first trip to the world with the kids in December 2015. I have a few questions regarding how to make reservations for things. Both children will be under the age of 3 at the time of the trip. There will be 2 children and 5 adults total. Number 1, when making dining reservations, how many people do we put in? Do you count the children even though they're under 3? What if it's a buffet that you have to pay for them because of their age?" I think you still put the amount of people. Let's assume it's like Crystal Palace. You put 5, but when you check in, they're going to ask you certain things like about ages, and you'll mention, and if they don't ask, you should mention anyway, "Oh, 2 of the kids are, you know, 1 year and 2 years old," or however old they are. And that way they won't be charged for it. But you still need to have
So you're going to tell them how many you're going to, how many will be seated at the table,
Yep, absolutely.
Exactly.
Number 2, do they need a fast pass? If the one child is tall enough to ride a ride that requires one, but she is unable to get a Magic Band because of her age, how do fast passes work?
No, they don't need it. You might be doing a rider swap too if it's under 3, depending on the ride. But remember, they don't need a ticket, so there's no leaking tickets to fast pass or anything like that.
So if they're under 3, I know we talked about this in that other show we did, the fast pass for
that time.
Questions. Yep. So let's say we're going on Dumbo, okay? Mm-hmm. My kid is 2 years old, so doesn't have a ticket. We go there. I have a fast pass. The kid is 2 years old. The kid can come with me, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's no ticket, so there's no fast pass.
Okay. And number 3, can you please explain how fast passes would work in conjunction with child swap? Do we just get a fast pass for part of our group and use the child swap fast passes for the rest?
It works almost exactly the same way. So you enter the fast pass line. You tell the attendant up front what you're doing. They'll give you a piece of paper. They'll make you wait either at some sort of predetermined point or at the ride exit. Some of you go on the ride, just the adults, while the other adults and the child are on one side. You guys meet up at the exit. You switch with the pass, and you go back in.
Yep. It actually works pretty easily, and once you do it once, you'll get the real hang of it.
Yeah, the only thing that's different is possibly where you sit or stand waiting. Generally, it's the exit of the ride, but in a couple of instances, it may not be.
Cool. Next, we have an email from Brian Perkins of Andover, New York. "The last day of the trip for my family is typically our park hopping romp around the world, where we get one last ride of our favorite or a hit ride we missed earlier in the trip. For our next trip, this day will fall on Memorial Day. How is this going to affect a park hopping plan? Should we hit Magic Kingdom early and then get out of there? Just plan on Magic Kingdom being so busy, it wouldn't be worth it. I'm operating on the assumption that there will not be a 24-hour event, because honestly, even if there is one, it won't affect our plan, as our 6 and 8-year-old boys are not going to be pulling an all-nighter. So Memorial Day, Len, how does that affect your plans to hit a park or park hop, as it were, on Memorial Day?
Well, the thing is, the if the Magic Kingdom is open 24 hours, it tends to be very crowded starting around 5 p.m., peaking, you know, obviously around midnight or so, and then sort of dropping off pretty quickly after 3 a.m. Actually, after midnight, you know, things start to drop off. But like I said, we were all there the first time, mm-hmm. and at 3 a.m., people were walking around with, you know, eating turkey legs, pushing strollers full of small children. It was like a regular summer day, except it was 3 o'clock in the morning. It was bizarre. But things really started dropping off around 4 o'clock, and then by 7, it was sort of like The Walking Dead, going, you know, shuffling back to the cars.
Nice. Next email from Eric from Delaware. Bring in the B team. With the recent downsizing of the podcast, what about creating a B-team for the other days? Think about needing to eventually have successors as well. The B-team could have guest appearances with the original gangsters. OG, that's us.
What about that kid that called in the live show with his cousin?
I'd be fine with this. We could, yeah, it's fine.
What was his name? Earlier, the letter from before.
Oh, yeah, no, they didn't say his name. I remember the email, I just don't have the... person's name, but
send us a resume.
No, please don't, because the last time you said that, they all did.
I still have 3 audio resumes from when Matt was going to leave us for Lou's show. One of them from someone we know quite well, and I'm gonna have to release it someday.
All right, Mike, time for our last question today. We're giving Mr. Newell 3 emails to choose from. One gets read today, the other 2 back in the email queue to be answered later. You ready, Mike?
Sure.
Indiana Jonesing and Kim Possible text alerts.
Kim Possible.
I did not waste a fast pass. Wait, you went to Animal Kingdom twice on purpose?
Well, to answer the first one, that's probably my phone that's in the background. So, yeah. Let's go with the second one, please.
Second one. I did not waste a fast pass. Last email today is from Allie from Elon. Is Elon, North Carolina, one?
Yeah, it's about an hour from here. Woot.
I have one small story and one unrelated question. On a recent trip down to the world for Christmas week, I asked for a fast pass for the Anna and Elsa meet and greet. I am 19 years old, so my family felt that if I wanted to waste a fast pass on meeting the characters, they could ride the other rides at the same time. However, I would not say I wasted a fast pass. The meet and greet was a fantastic experience that I feel Walt would have been proud of. I entered the queue with no line and scan my Magic Band. They said, "Welcome, Princess Allie. Queen Elsa and Anna have been waiting for you." I went into their room, and the theme was absolutely on point with the movie. They were both perfectly in character, with Anna bouncing off the walls and Elsa majestically posing, both of them allowing me to take a selfie. Although on the older end of the spectrum, this princess experience will be one I won't forget. It was definitely not a fast pass wasted. And on to my question. What would be the perfect day at Walt Disney World for each of you? What time would you get to the parks? And which one? Different meals, shows, attractions. Where would you stay? That's a good question.
Mm.
So, you know, one thing that Allie mentioned in the email, you know, what time would you ride? If it's gonna be a perfect day, I'm not rolling in at Rope Drop. I'm gonna pull a Mike Newell here, and sleep in at my All-Star Vacation home.
That's right.
Have lunch somewhere, and then I'll roll in.
Have lunch in my All-Star Vacation home. Roll into the pool at my All-Star Vacation home.
With pizza that Mike Scopa made on my All-Star Vacation.
Nice.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'll get there in, you know, afternoon-ish.
You know
eventually.
What? Let's meet around dinner. We'll watch some fireworks. How's that?
You know, the one thing I've always said I would really like to do is do – how about this for a perfect day? How about Star Wars weekends in February so I can actually enjoy it?
It is so hot in June. It's
in May.
May, June-ish.
May and June. It's terrible. Yeah. And I just can't enjoy it because I'm always just like doing this. I just need air conditioning. So my perfect day is going to be enjoying Star Wars weekends in February so I can really get, you know, I can finally like not worry about where the sun is or where the shade is. Or, you know, or the rain that's going to be coming in 2 o'clock. I can just enjoy it to its full extent. That'd be mine. Scopa, what about you? What's your perfect day at Walt Disney World?
Well, it would probably be in October, and it would probably be on a Tuesday or Wednesday, and it would be in Epcot, where I could walk around World Showcase during Food and Wine when it would not be crowded. And that's why I'm picking Tuesday and Wednesday, and really enjoy all the opportunities, you know, that are there with food and drink and not worry about crowd. And then at night, I would take off for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party at the Magic Kingdom. But I would start the day at Epcot, and I would end the day at the Magic Kingdom. October, perfect weather.
I like it. Len, what about you?
You know, it'd probably be at this point because Hannah doesn't get up at 6 o'clock in the morning anymore. You know, sleeping until, you know, 9 or 10, having some breakfast, hitting the parks by 11, but being able to get all of the FastPass Plus reservations that I want ahead of time, so I'm not, you know, waiting in line for the Headliner rides at, you know, because I got to the park at 11, you know, staying really, really late. I would love to see a 24-hour event like in early November.
When it's cool. You know,
when the weather's cooler.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Or, you know, even a 24-hour day over Christmas break when most people could appreciate it. Can you imagine that can you imagine a Christmas week, 24-hour day? Can you imagine how much money they would make? Because everyone would be there, right? But everyone could enjoy it. It'd be crazy.
I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. Nice. Mr. Newell.
This is tough. I've been listening to you guys. I kind of like what Mike said. Definitely has to be in the fall or the early spring. I've been down in March and it's been really hot, so I don't even know if March is considered, but February-ish, late January, middle of the week, just like Mike said. I like Flower and Garden for the same reasons that everybody likes Food and Wine, so I could do that in the middle of the week. That would be nice. Yeah.
Like February, like right now. I mean, right now you're looking at temperatures mid-60s for the high, mid-50s for the low. That's perfect.
It is. Yeah. It is perfect.
There's nothing wrong with that. I think the high, it gets to 75 one day. And the low gets to 45 one day. Okay. I'll bring a sweater and some shorts.
You want it just warm enough that you can go swimming, you know, at Disney, and their pools are heated anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but it's that comfortable that you can walk around the parks, not be sweating. You know, maybe you're wearing t-shirts for sure, you know, jeans. You can wear shorts probably, but you might be a little nippy there. But, you know, it's that kind of a, you know, comfortable touring experience.
Exactly.
I like it. Very good. Well, that'll do it for us today. Don't forget that this episode of WDW Today has been sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Boy, you're talking about perfect trips to Walt Disney World. Well, how about a perfect trip that's perfectly priced? That's right. MEI and Mouse Travel's got some great packages for you to help you get a great price for your Disney World vacation. Not just today, but every day between now and when your trip actually happens. Prices change all the time. And with MEI and Mouse Travel's help, they can help you get the best possible price. Check them out right now at mousefantravel.com. And also be sure to check out our other sponsor, which is All-Star Vacation Homes. And you heard us talking about All-Star Vacation Homes earlier in the episode, talking about, you know, our perfect day. And I'll be honest with you, it's hard to tell you that my perfect day at Walt Disney World doesn't start at an All-Star Vacation Home where I may be going for a swim in my own private pool, not sleeping, not waking up in the same room as my daughters. I mean, there's a lot to be said about that. Love them, but not. You know, I like separation. And this is what makes it for a great vacation, Walt Disney World. Check them out right now, allstarvacationhomes.com. And, of course, we wouldn't be remiss if we didn't mention our other sponsor, which is touringplans.com. And, you know, we've got a great discount for our podcast listeners for touringplans.com. If you use the discount code ZUZU2015, ZUZU2015, you will save a great deal on your next touringplans.com subscription. It gives you a lot of great resources. And, really, it just makes you – allows you to do everything that you want to do without having to wait in really long lines to make it happen. Check them out right now, touringplans.com. For Len Testa, Mike Scopa, and Mike Newell, I'm Matt Hotchford. We'll see you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.